Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. First words out of his mouth before the British Parliament. This is the humblest day of my life, says Rupert Murdoch. That was about 10 minutes ago. Let's listen to what's going on right now.
Or any of those executives had knowledge of that, and their assertions, certainly Mrs. Brooks and assertions to me of her knowledge of those things has been clear. Nonetheless, those resignations have been accepted, but it's important, you know, on the basis that there is no evidence today that I have seen or that I have any knowledge of that there was any impropriety by them.
I'm going to turn to Tom Watson.
Mr. Murdoch Sr., good afternoon, sir. You have repeatedly stated that News Corp has a zero tolerance to wrongdoing by employees. Is that right?
Excuse me, yes.
In October 2010, did you still believe it to be true when you made your Thatcher speech and you said, let me be clear, we will vigorously pursue the truth and we will not tolerate wrongdoing?
Yes.
So if you were not lying then, somebody lied to you. Who was it?
I don't know. That is what the police are investigating and we're helping them with.
But you acknowledge that you were misled?
Clearly.
The monosyllabic, terse remarks reacting to questions from a British member of Parliament. That's Rupert Murdoch Sr. speaking, the voice you also heard earlier, the younger voice of James Murdoch. Both Murdochs testifying this morning before the British Parliament, taking questions for the very first time in public on the scandal that has rocked News Corp, the company referred to there, and reduced its market value by more than $8 billion. Joining us now, John Burns, who's covered this story from wall to wall, a London bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. What do you make of this moment, John?
I'm sorry, did you say what do I make of this moment?
Yes.
Well, of course, it is a climactic moment, the fact that it's occurring. But so far, and I'll have to get back to the testimony as soon as we're off the line, there have been no revelations at all. Even Mr. Murdoch beginning by saying, this is the most humble day of my life, is really a reformulation on a more dramatic stage of the apology that he posted in every British newspaper on Saturday and then again on Sunday.
He's already apologized, as you've said. He's already closed the News of the World, the tabloid at the center of the scandal. And there are already announcements of management changes. Rebecca Brooks, who is expected to testify later today, already out. And two members of Scotland Yard have already testified this morning. Do you think Rupert Murdoch believes, and again, I don't want to get into speculation here, do you think that this ends today, that that's in his mind in some sense?
I think Rupert Murdoch is nothing if not a hard-headed man. He's an 80-year-old hard-headed man now, and he may not be quite as astute as he once was, but I think anybody who's ever done business with him or dealt with him as a reporter would say it would be to underestimate him to say that he imagines that there's going to be any closure today, because this is simply an early milestone, I think, self-evidently, in a saga and a challenge to News Corporation that is likely to run on for, I would say, months, if not years.
This is John Burns, London bureau chief for our part in the New York Times, talking about the dramatic moment in front of the British Parliament. Rupert Murdoch testifying, saying it's the most humble day of his life, sitting next to his son James, both at the helm of News Corp, which has lost $8 billion in market cap since the beginning of this scandal, or the climax of this scandal over the last 10 days. John Burns, describe for us, because the British government is very much on trial as a result, as well as News Corp. How do we assess the pattern of questions from members of Parliament? Is this a multi-party kind of roasting of Rupert Murdoch, or would you expect the questions to be different from different places on the bench?
No, you would expect to see some of that, but I think if we're going to see that in full force, it will be tomorrow when Prime Minister Cameron, who is returning hurriedly from a abrogated trip to Africa, goes to the House of Commons for a debate, in effect, on this whole business. And that will be highly partisan and will focus absolutely on Mr. Cameron, and very likely even more on Mr. Cameron than on Mr. Murdoch.
And we've just heard now that James Murdoch, describing his relationship with Rebecca Brooks, who will also testify later today, James Murdoch knew nothing about phone hacking from Rebecca Brooks, or that other executives knew about phone hacking, and their resignations were based on the fact that they knew nothing about the phone hacking. Now, that sends a message, it seems to me, that if you don't know what's going on below, you're not going to be tolerated at News Corp. That seems to be a signal to shareholders that not knowing is a bad a sin as actually knowing.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of the testimony, but I think there are some facts already on the record which suggest that James Murdoch, in what's left of this afternoon's session and continuing on into the police investigation, will not get away with so bland an assurance and to cite only one fact. He has acknowledged it, a check for £700,000 to one of those people who was phone hacked. He says now, which sounds very much like a payoff to you and me, he says that he didn't fully understanding or was not fully informed as to what the background to this was. Well, I think the least you'd say as an investor in the News Corporation and its subsidiary operations overseas that are headed by James Murdoch, that you'd be a bit worried about your money if he was so ready to sign checks in excess of $1 million without fully knowing what he was signing for.
And indeed, the revelations that are coming out this morning as James Murdoch and Rupert Murdoch testify before the British Parliament. John Burns is our guest. He's London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Let's listen for a moment and see if they're actually questioned on the amount of those payoffs that John Burns just referred to.
To this committee's questions, are you aware that News International stated that both John Chapman and Daniel Cloak reviewed these emails before forwarding them to Harbottle and Lewis?
No.
So that nobody in the company told you that two of your executives had reviewed the emails
Thought that I was under the understanding that everything had been sent to them.
Okay. You are aware that Lord McDonald QC has since reviewed the emails again on behalf of News International, are you not?
Yes.
You're aware that he stated he found evidence
And he's reported to the whole board of News International.
He did.
And News Corporation.
And you're aware that he stated to the board that he found evidence of indirect hacking, breaches of national security, and evidence of serious crime in the Harbottle and Lewis file.
Oh, he did indeed.
Mr. Watson, I can address these in some detail if you would allow me.
I will come to you.
You're listening to some fairly tense exchanges there. Rupert Murdoch and his son James Murdoch attempting to respond to British Member of Parliament Tom Watson's questions about what emails were reviewed or not. We've been speaking a moment ago with John Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. But let's bring in Mark Darcy from our partner, the BBC, host of the BBC program Today in Parliament. Boy, Today in Parliament says it all, eh, Mark?
It's been a pretty lively day so far, even before the Murdochs came before the Culture Committee, which is what you were just listening to. Senior policemen who'd been involved in the unsuccessful earlier investigations of hacking, including the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, who's just resigned, came before another committee and were given a grilling on this sort of subject as well. So it's wall-to-wall committee hearings on the hacking scandal today.
You know, I asked John Burns this a moment ago. Do you think Rupert Murdoch believes that this ends here, that he can, by testifying, close a chapter in this scandal, or is it open-ended from here on out?
I think it's going to be a while yet before this chapter's closed. There's clearly an awful lot of information that people are going to have to pass in some detail before anything like that happens. In particular, the Culture Committee that you were just listening to has an awful lot of very searching questions to ask about exactly how News International handled the whole thing and how quickly they came clean with the British Parliament, having previously given evidence that everything was all right, it was one rogue reporter and that was it.
Mark Darcy, before we go, host of the BBC's programme Today in Parliament, what's the question you most want asked?
One of the question I most want asked is about the payments that were made to known hacking victims. Did they sign off the checks that were given to those people in the knowledge that they were in effect paying hush money, or was it a simple civil settlement?
Indeed.
That'll be an interesting one.
It referred to moments ago by John Burns as well. Mark Darcy, thanks so much, host of the BBC program Today in Parliament. Also thanks to John Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, the New York Times. You can hear the hearings before the British Parliament live streamed at thetakeaway.org. We urge you to go there. We're going to leave you before we sign off with just the last bit of audio. James Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, testifying now before the British Parliament Culture Committee.
Afterwards, but please understand that the settlement of an out-of-court settlement of a civil claim of that nature and with that of that quantum is something that normally in a company our size, the responsible executives.